You are now listening to another episode of The Dojo, a podcast dedicated to highlighting a valued member of the Cyber Samurai community, with your hosts, Shake, Dorian, and The Local. Each episode, we dive deep and ask hard-hitting questions about individual journeys in the crypto and NFT space, discuss current market trends, and share advice on maintaining longevity in Web3. Welcome, guys, to The Dojo. In this week's episode, we speak to artist and founder of Lotus Gang NFT and highly anticipated upcoming collection, The Lily. He is a multi-chain madman and creator of a brand new color. Listen in as we chat to Bunjil.
Cool, dude. So I guess to start off, like, I'm trying to think. I don't want to ask you corny-ass questions, but I am curious. Let's start here. What's kind of like, what's your daily life look like right now when it's like, you know, Lily season?
Dude, it's a bit of a clusterfuck. So since June, or like a bit before that, when I decided that I was going to draw this whole thing myself, my life has been a mixture of, like, actually not a mixture of anything, literally just drawing every fucking day. So I'll wake up and I will hop on Photoshop, let's go in order. I'll wake up, I'll have my coffee, like a single shot espresso down the hatch, and then I will start my Pomodoro timer, which is 25 minutes on, 5 minutes off. I will throw my phone aggressively onto my bed, and then I will start drawing. So I'll be like, okay, what do I need to do today? How many traits can I draw? And then for the first few hours, it's just like, you know, like easy mode. Like, I can get a lot done, and then it starts to be a bit more of a struggle. So maybe I'll go to the gym, come back, and then try again. Somewhere in the middle of that, I need to have like a meeting with the team to see what everyone else is working on, if everything's on track, if they need me to clear any, you know, obstacles or brainstorm something, or anything has gone wrong that I need to fix. And in between that, whenever I'm like, you know, on a break or something, I'll just come on Twitter to talk shit. But practically since June, that's been my life. And like, people in real life are like, this guy is off the map. When they see me in person, they're like, yo, you look like shit, man. Like, you need to like go outside. I'm like, yeah, I know, but like, the work needs to be done. So here we are doing it. But that's pretty much my day. It's like, I just draw like all day. It's, and then review, and then, you know, talk to the team, and they ask me how long it's going to take. And I'm like, it's going to take this long. And then like a week later, I'm like, hey, it's going to take a bit longer. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Dude, so that's awesome. I think you tweeted a couple times, like something along the lines of like, this is your most ambitious project you've ever done. Can you like speak on that a little bit more?
Yeah, ambitious in terms of like sheer size, and so size and I guess vision and potential impact. So size in the sense of like, I guess the closest parallel I can draw is like final exams in high school. So for me, at least growing up, like it was a big deal. Your final year in Australia, at least, the score that you get, like the rank that you get in your final exam, it's like a culmination of every score that you get in every exam of every subject throughout the year and the year before, so year 11 and 12, and like that score determines what uni course you can get into. And at least in my community, like the Indian community, it's very competitive. It's a very big deal. It's like this is like the determinator of your life. You know, if you fuck this up, fuck you. You're a bum. Like, you're stupid. And like, you know, you're not going to get no bitches, no arranged marriage. You know, not that I want that, whatever. But, you know, it's a big, and even if you don't want to be a doctor or anything, like you still want to get the highest score. It's super competitive. So that period of my life was like fucking same thing. Wake up, fuck the world, just start studying, like cranking out like notes and reviewing stuff for months and months and months, for like that one number at the end. Since then, like, it's never been this extended period of a time where there is just like this looming deadline and something so big that I'm working on that consumes my whole life. And obviously it was easier back then when you're a kid, because you don't have shit else to do. Like you have one goal and everyone understands that that's your one goal. Like if you're like cranky or whatever, they're like, oh, it's okay. He's working on his final exams. Like, you know, let him do his thing. But now it's like you're a full grown adult and you are imposing a deadline on yourself. There's no like, no one kind of pushing you to be like, you have to do this. So it's just ambitious in the sense that when I started, I'm like, oh, I could really do this. I could, you know, draw this whole thing myself, make it look really good, do all this complicated shit. And then it just got bigger and bigger. And I started thinking like, well, what can I do with the project itself? And that got really big. So yeah, I mean, like, it's just what it says on the can. Like, this is the biggest thing I've worked on in my life. And I have full faith that it'll pay off. So that's why I'm doing it. Like, it's hard to explain to people, but like, I just know.
Dude, I love that. You know, as part of that, like, it seems kind of from the outsider perspective. I mean, I've been holding Lotus King for a while and I pop into Discord and stuff. But like from my perspective, like that you've done a really good job at delegating responsibilities and stuff. Can you like speak to that a little bit? Like, and like who you have on your team?
Yeah, definitely. So my team is the reason any of this can be possible. So delegating was something I struggled with last year when I just kind of started and ran Lotus Gang on my own, because it was like, it's like PFP projects and this type of stuff, especially for like the creatives. Every post, everything you do is an extension of the art, the product, like that you're putting out, and it has your name attached to it. So you want a degree of control over how every post sounds, like everything that comes out looks, etc., which is cool. But if like it's just very like unscalable, and then it requires like you become the bottleneck for everything. So it was a lot of work for me to be like, look, that's just not going to work if I want to make a project of the size and caliber that I want to make it. So I need to be able to delegate out like, you know, management of the Discord announcements. You know, even you have people make graphics for me that I can then review and get that done. Like brainstorming ideas and like giving people the, I guess, autonomy to just run with shit if they come up with it. So almost creating like creating a company, right? Like creating a company culture where people in the team are empowered to figure out if something matches the vision, come up with the idea, just get the quick like, hey, is this like cool to do? And me being like, yeah, go do it. And then them going in and doing that. So it's a bit of a balance ballet of like, someone will have an idea, me being like, oh, I'm not really sure if that's like fit, talking about it, coming to some kind of middle ground, and then they can just go do what they want. Like, but I've been forced to let them do more of that because, or like have the help to do more of that because I just can't be doing everything right now because my entire focus is on the art. And this has been mentioned in a couple of other podcasts where it's a bit of a unique situation where being both the founder and the only artist working on the project, art on a project takes time, even on the simplest thing, even on the simplest fucking project, it takes time to get right, testing, drawing, all that shit. Lily, in my opinion, is much more complicated than the average profile picture project. And like, sometimes I get a bit like numb to it because I've been staring at it for 6 months, but I feel like when other people look at it, they'll be like, yeah, like, and if you really stare at it and think about like how it was made, you'd be like, wow, this is a bit different. This probably took a lot more time. And yeah, that's taken up my entire day. So I need like the rest of the team to be like working on other stuff. Otherwise, we'd get nowhere. I'm gonna see Dorian has his hand up.
Yeah, but you know, as you hit the nail on the head. Of course, you're a project founder about the brand. Like everything you say and do is kind of related. It's just an extension of the brand. And it's great that you're at the point where you can have a team and trust them to like execute things on their own while still being aligned in the vision of the project. Cause I think that's one of the most difficult things. It's like, you can go out and hire a bunch of people to do these jobs, but if just because they do the job doesn't mean that they're aligned with the vision, your vision, and understand where you're trying to take the project.
Shit, I hit mute by accident, bro. My bad.
Yo, just before everyone starts speaking again, my bad again. I'm telling you, my spaces is fucking AIDS, man. Like Dorian was like, he just started talking and then it just went mute. And I'm just staring at the screen like that fucking Mike Wazowski meme, like, fuck, what do I do, man? And then like, I joined back and he's like, damn, I didn't think it was that bad. So sorry. Please, if you could repeat what you were saying before I died. And then Angel as well. I've heard you start to speak as well.
Go ahead, Angel, and then I'll jump to Bungeo.
Please, brother. After you.
All right. Yeah. I was just saying, Benjil, it's like, I was just shouting out to you because it's like, you've been in the space a while and like, you know, that everything you do or on Twitter and stuff is just an extension of your brand. So it's like, now that you finally have a team that you trust to be able to, you know, execute things independently and you just kind of review it, it's definitely hard to build in this space. And like you, I was just also saying, you could go out and hire people to do these jobs, but it would take them longer to learn the culture of the community and understand your vision than if you just hired people or if you went out and hired people. Hopefully that makes sense. So yeah, I didn't say definitely. It as articulate as before.
Yeah, no, I mean, I only heard the first like maybe three words of what you were saying before I like passed out. So yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying. And I think it's lucky for me that like my team, it was never like, okay, now I'm hiring, let's hire. It was a gradual like collection through the year and like just a nonstop always. I don't want to say audition, but like I was just always looking out to be like, well, this person makes my life super easy, or they're really good at this. Let me just ask them if they want to help out, and then we'll talk about like how much they want to get paid. And it's because like it's easier when it's someone who's almost like already doing the job. Like a lot of my mods, I'd just be in the server, and there'd be people naturally helping out and being funny. I'm like, yo, dude, like you doing me a solid, like you should get paid for this. And then with like my head of community CY, he's just been like an absolute like powerhouse in the server helping out. So he set up the I should probably talk about like who's in the team actually, but like yes, CY is head of community. He was in the server, he was running the Alpha Rangers, which is like you'll see like the Power Ranger PFP people in the server, and they're like the people who collect whitelists and stuff for everyone, and they do a really good job. He was running that and he was doing a really good job, and he would like just message me with like what's happening with like 10 dot points. I'm like, fuck yeah, bro, like you are like killing this. And he was just coming up with mad ideas, just really is running the show himself basically. And I was just like, fucking dude, like you need to be paid for this. So offered him that role, and then like now he's just like earning that. And then I was like, well, we need like, you know, the library is something that we want to build, and so I need someone who's really good at that. That's probably the only role where I was like, okay, I need to formally like hire for this, because I haven't seen someone like go out of their way to be writing articles and like manage the library. So I had to actually do a whole interview process, and the librarian that I ended up going with actually just joined the call, Kenyatta. I had an interview with him. We talked mostly about One Piece. And then I was like, it's
fucking let's go.
Yeah. And then we both just like talked about like how, like I told him my vision for like the project and like how it relates to like One Piece and like kind of what I want to do. And he was like, that's fucking sick. And just, and then turns out he's like a bit of a creative graphic designer style photographer as well, which is what I need for like the library. And he also does like good writing, so that just ended up happening. Kylie, who is our head moderator, is a project manager in real life, and she has been working as a project manager for the Dijin Fat Cats and previously Dijin Coin Flip. And I just remember her like professionalism and how like she was just really good at what she did. And I was like, yo, like you want to like, I was basically just tried to poach her. I was like, man, fuck the coins, like fuck Dijin Coin Flip. You should work for like Lotus Land, like work with Lotus Gang, sorry. And she was like, no, I can do both. I'm like, all right, dope. And she was also like a really good community member as well. So a lot of the people, like my full team is basically people who I've just watched, or also like head of tech, Chambaz. I asked Chambaz to help me on the team because at one point I wanted to rebrand the Lotus Gang website, and I'm not a dev, but I'm like, I can design stuff at a basic level. And I messaged like in the chat, we have like a dev channel. I'm like, yo, who can help me make a website? He's like, I can. And then within 24 hours, like, from idea to online and accessible, him and I designed a full, like, I designed the website, he made it happen, and it was, like, sexy. Was, yeah, admittedly, it was, like, one page, but that shit, like, once upon a time, would have taken me fucking ages. But he was just, we were completely on the same wavelength. He was able to cook up, like, my vision. We had, like, three, like, I guess, revisions back and forth, and it was done. So I was like, dude, this was fun as shit. I want to work with you more. And we just kept building more tools. And, yeah, like, my whole team is just acquired, like collected, because I was like, this person's sick, I want them on my squad. And if anyone's ever watched One Piece, like One Piece is a massive part of my life, I guess same thing happens in that show, where it's like, you know, the guy has an idea, he wants to make it happen, and he kind of sails the seas looking for, but not even looking for, he'll just bump into people who are just really good at what they do, and he's like, yo, you would really, really do well like with me because we're both going in the same way, you should just come along and we can get there faster.
Yo, Bunjil, like, your way that you assembled your ragtag crew seems very similar to how Cyber Samurai did, so mad respect to you on that. And also, your love for One Piece, dog, you're not alone with this. I am a One Piece enjoyer. I've been watching One Piece for, like, the past 20 years. Read it weekly. Don't give me... I don't want to turn this into a One Piece space, but we could.
Why not? Why not, bro?
Yo, like, let's go.
The people need to know. The people need to know, baby.
Oh, they do, dog. I'm watching Film Red tomorrow. I'm super pumped.
Bro, I was meant to watch that when it came out, but fucking, I was working on Lily. Like, me and my weeb friends were like, yo, we should all, because I have, like, a Shanks, like a red hair pirates t-shirt. We were like, we all have one, and we were like, yo, we should wear these and, like, watch the new One Piece together. And then we didn't, because we all got super busy, but I need to at some point. But I love One Piece. It's no secret. Local, what's up?
Yo, what's happening? Yeah, welcome to the show, man. Obviously, yeah, we had some technical difficulties earlier, but yeah, welcome to the dojo. Obviously, for those who are just joining in, now we've got Bunjil, the founder of Lotus Gang, and also the Lily coming up. So yeah, so basically, man, you left banking and finance industry to, you know, research Web3 and, you know, create the Lotus. So how can you take a step back to, you know, like, what inspired you to, you know, go into this crypto NFT space and, like, share your passion for illustration and entertainment? Yeah,
for sure. So I've always been into, I guess, drawing and the creative side of things. I pursued animation. I pursued graphic design just in my own time. I've always been on track to work within, like, finance and stuff. So my ambition as a kid was just to wear a suit and look out of a skyscraper. That was my career goal. I didn't care what the job was. I was like, when I'm, like, you know, a man, this is what's going to look like. I'm going to wear a suit and I'm going to be working probably in a big building. And, like, that's how I know I've made it. And then I basically did that when I was, like, 18, 19. So I was like, fuck, now what? and I realized I didn't even like the work. Like, turns out finance and accounting are actually two completely different things. And all of it's a bit boring, to be honest. But I was working there, and then after that, like, I was tapped on the shoulder to work in kind of residential construction as a project manager. And I was like, okay, cool. This is, like, someone else I know just outside of work, family actually. And then they were like, you should help me because, you know, you're really good with computers. I'm like, cool, I'll give it a shot. Hated it. And it was during that time I came across, like, I was kind of, like, low-key in crypto, but I didn't really care much about it until my friend showed me that Jay-Z had a CryptoPunk profile picture. That was pretty much it for me. I was like, okay, look, I've heard a lot about this stuff, whatever, cool. But if Jay-Z, if, like, Jigga, Jehovah, you know, God MC, Sean Carter, best, like, rapper alive, is into fucking CryptoPunks, then I'm not smarter than him. No one is smarter than him, so I'm going to look it up. And that same day I went home. I've said this story like 100 times. That same day I went home and I went on OpenSea and I'm like, I can't afford any of this. So then I was checking Twitter and I saw someone post about, like, a Solana monkey business. And so I went to check out that page. I was looking at the price. I'm like, this is like 6-7 grand for me. I'm not buying that shit. And then I hit refresh and it was like 8 grand. And I was like, yo, like, what the fuck? Like, this shit is fucking pumping. So I was like, fine, I'll just buy it for a quick flip, you know, like, whatever. And it was a lot of money for me at the time. I mean, even now, it's still a lot of money for me. But I don't know what compelled me to do it, but I know what compelled me to do it. The price was fucking pumping. I was like, if I buy now and sell it now, I'll be rich. So I bought it, and then I just didn't sell for a while. And that's kind of how it all picked up. That's how I got into it. And then I started reading, and I was like, wow, like, what is this all about, really? And then I delved a bit deeper into it about what is the point of crypto? Why is Bitcoin worth so much? Why is there such a cult following? How is Ethereum different from Bitcoin, and how did it kind of follow that same route? What is decentralized finance? How is decentralized finance different from centralized finance? What is an NFT? And, like, kind of this progression of this, I guess, internet niche that was becoming so much more than a niche at that time. And, you know, I read about what happened in 1971. I read about the Fed. I read about, impending inflation. And there were a lot of pages and publications that I followed which were so deep into crypto and so convicted that this was the future that I was like, look, it's worth researching at least. And I have this monkey picture now that's worth like a shitload of money. Let's bust it out. So trading NFTs, learning about Link, Ohm, fucking all the different Ponzi's, learning about fucking everything. And I was having a lot of success doing this in my spare time. And this is when I was waking up early in the mornings to do this stuff, because I'd have to go work in the construction thing. So, and you know, in the morning, no one bothers you because they're asleep. But then, you know, 9 a.m. comes around and your phone starts ringing. It's like, hey, do this, do that. And I'm like, oh, fuck. So any kind of moment I had, I was reading about this stuff, posting on Twitter. And Twitter was really fun for me because, you know, I fucking have fun with it. Like, I just say what I want. And it's like, and anything that happens, I just try to crack a joke about it. And it's super entertaining and fun. So spending a lot of time on Twitter, knowing the right people, flipping NFTs, reading about Web3 and stuff, eventually go on to launch Lotus Gang, which is just a culmination of my need to share the success that I was having learning about all this stuff and getting other people onto the same boat. And yeah, that's kind of the progression of how that all happened.
That's crazy, bro. Now, obviously, you know, people have different kind of backgrounds and coming into the space. And yeah, man, like obviously like people may know, like you're part of Boogles as well. And what made you like, obviously what made you want to, like, obviously, you know, everyone's in this space, you know, they're investor, they're just trading, flipping NFTs. And, you know, there's a big jump towards starting your own project. Right. So did you see there was a need for your project, or like, why did you even choose to build on Solana and instead of ETH as well? But obviously like that can be another discussion, but what made you want to start a project? Cause you know, not everyone, like you set out to be, like you were just flipping NFTs. Now you're creating a project, and now you're creating a second collection. So yeah, man, what made you want to go make that jump?
Probably just wanting to be involved in it all. So I was seeing I think the earliest indication of me thinking like I could make a project was seeing some of the art coming out and seeing some of the art sell out. And I was like, this is dog shit. So I was like, this is fucking horrible. And like, I could do fucking better art than this. And I was looking at all the profile pictures. And I'm like, what kind of profile picture would I want? And so I drew like what is now my existing profile picture. And I was like, this is dope. And so then I just started fucking around in Photoshop and making more examples. And I was really interested in the process of like a generative profile picture project. I'm like, how is this possible? How is this done? So I started researching it, and then, you know, I figured out how to do it. There's like tutorials on YouTube. And so I started generating my own like things. And I was like, yo, I could totally make a project like this. Started making like traits that are more, I guess, niche, like in Indian like turbans and stuff like that, stuff that relates to me because I'm, you know, North Indian. I love that culture. Sorry, Angel, after I finish talking, I want to hit you, like say, ask you what you want to ask, because your hand's been up for ages and I feel sad. But yeah, so I started drawing the art, and I'm like, cool, like this is dope. And I start seeing like the types of communities that are popping up, and a lot of it's just kind of like kind of alpha sharing and like that whole idea of like, this is like a PFP, like this PFP is for like this community. Like, kind of what I thought is like, I could use this to onboard people into like what's working for me. Like, I am printing money. I was making fuckloads of money, stupid money, flipping NFTs and like buying these coins, and all the coins are going up. So I was like, it felt like I was on this boat that was like sailing away, and all these people I want like to be on the boat with me, and they weren't. So I was like, cool, Lotus Gang can be like that entrance for them. It can be like their first NFT. Was a lot of language I was using at the time, and I was like, it's universal enough PFP that I like it, and I feel like a normal person would like it. And they would, like, the idea was they would see it. They'd be like, this is dope. They have, like, turbans and shit. I have a turban. Fucking mad. Let me join. And then, like, find out about crypto and make a lot of money. That was the day one vibe. That was, like, this is what I want to do. And then it kind of progressed from there. The roadmap was short. The roadmap was very much, like, let's just make a community and then, like, see where we go. Donate a fuckload to charity, which we did. $52,000 of the original mint was donated to the United Sikhs. And even with that, it wasn't even donated to like somewhere it was easy to donate to. I was in the spirit of onboarding, and this is something I actually forgot about. I was like, I need to find a charity that doesn't take crypto payments and convince them to take crypto payments. So I hit up, so one of the United Sikhs is one charity. There's another massive charity called like Khalsa Aid, which is like the biggest like charity in this space, like this kind of Punjabi Indian global charity space. And I hit them up, and I was like, guys, I have like $50,000 for you, fucking no strings attached. All you have to do is like let me set you up with a wallet, and like let me set you up with crypto payments. And I told them, like, statistics show that companies that accept crypto payments get 20% more donations because of, you know, people with a lot of crypto gains trying to get rid of their fucking shit for tax purposes. And also it's just easier to do because of all the non-KYC shit. And I messaged them. I was fighting tooth and nail to get these guys to do it. And they were just scared off by this crypto thing. And they just wouldn't believe. And like, that was nothing. I was like, yo, these guys are turning away free fucking money because they don't understand crypto and they think it's like a scary thing. So then I went to another charity, United Seeks, and I told them the same thing. I'm like, yo, guys, like they wouldn't take my message. And I was like, oh, $50,000, bro, you fucking reply to me. Like, for fuck's sake, like, what is wrong with you? And then eventually, like, convince them to get on board, walk them through setting up a wallet. And now, like, you can go to their website and they take crypto payments. And that was kind of like, well, I want to make a point of, again, just education, just telling people about this stuff. And then, yeah, that was done. Project was kicking off. And then the year went on and I realized, like, okay, now I'm kind of like a bit like, I've done it. Now what? Now we need to innovate. So we need to, like, you know, we need to take it a step further. I've got this brand. I've got this goodwill. I've got this community that's sticking around. We need to do something for them. And so I started doing a fuckload of different things in terms of like making 3D models, metaverse partnerships, trying to create like games. So Silk Road was, you know, step one. Then we were going to make like a dynamic staking platform. We set up like the Discord to be basically like MonkeyDAO. I was trying to create as much value as possible. And then eventually I was like, I just can't do it with the resources that I have, being like just me alone, the amount I raised and like the way it is right now. Like, I need a team, coupled with the fact that my knowledge of generation and, like, you know, profile picture generation and my art skills had reached a certain level at that point. I was like, I really think I can make a really cool profile picture that's like different and like sick. All of that combined led to Lily, where I'm like, I want to do what I've been doing already. I'm here every day full time, fucking shit posting, like, you know, reading and still doing the same thing I was doing a year ago. Still want to spread that information, still want to get as many people involved, and I just want to be leaving my mark in this, you know, place. I want to be up there on the table with everyone kind of pushing it forward, leading the conversations, and being someone who has some sort of you know, legacy, right? So that's kind of the Lily story and the ambition behind what I want to do with it. Like, I definitely want to make it like the most well-known project across both chains, for all the good reasons, all the right reasons, I should say.
Love it, man. Love it. But yeah, obviously, you know, that's a, because I know a lot of people that want to know, like, you know, how, where you came from and all that stuff. And it's great that you shared that. So yeah, I'll pass it over to Angel now. He's had his hand up for a while. So Angel, what's up?
Thank you again, Cyber Samurai, for hosting this space. You guys are hosting a, to me, probably one of the best, not just dope artists, but just somebody who's branded himself and his artwork in a space that is flooded with a bunch of PFPs, different types of art. Please excuse me for my just sound of lack of breath. I was just doing some push-ups. So
make sure, make sure
just fucking go.
Make sure you guys are getting your chest. Hey, it's snowing outside. I got nothing else to do except create shit and work out, so. So, I would want to bring this back to you. Is it pronounced Bungil?
Bungil, yeah. Bungil, like, yeah.
Got it. Again, it's a pleasure talking with you. And, you know, ever since I saw Lotus Gang, which was very recently, I've been in this space for a long time. Really can't believe I just now found out who you were. Been following your work. I think it's super dope. I really wanted to get more into, like, understanding the... That's it, like your company, right? Lotus Gang. Mm-hmm. Again, you guys have seriously branded this. Probably one of the most, I can instantly recognize it's your style. I can instantly recognize it's Lotus Gang. I can instantly recognize, even if it was like a white paper, I know exactly what product this is from. Even if it didn't have Lotus Gang, just that little bar, there's multiple colors, I think is super dope. What is like your company's ethos from the very beginning? And how has it changed as you've gotten more and more popularity, let's say?
First of all, thank you for your kind words, bro. I really appreciate that. It's my pleasure to be speaking to you, to be able to serve, really, to be like, I'm super lucky that I get to spend all my time doing what I like, which is drawing and, you know, I guess spreading good information for people's benefit. It's super enjoyable, so the fact that it's appreciated on the other end is just, you know, further proof of just how fucking lucky I am. ethos of the Lotus is, so it's kind of just like our website. We tried to make it very clear on the website. So when Lotus Gang started, I think the three words that we kind of built around were art, education, and empowerment. It's essentially the same now. We've just kind of turned, like, we've kind of muted the art part and been more about like the improvement of each individual person through kind of whatever means necessary, not so much financial gain exclusively, but like the ability for them to better position themselves. So the idea of the Lotus is like, it's like the landing page of the new web. I would say Web 3, but Web 3 just sounds super lame in my opinion. So like, you know, it's time to move on and start calling it something new. So like, yeah, like the landing page of the new web in the sense that it'll be like the welcoming port for people who are crypto curious, but don't know what the hell's going on. We want to be like that community. And we kind of already are in the sense that people who talk about the Lotus Gang Discord, they talk about Lotus Gang people. They're like, these people are always there to help out. It's a nice place to be. You go there and like you ask a question, someone will sort you out. It's just a, it's just this like, I don't know, like a helpful group of people who are trying to get better themselves and help other people get better. I just think a group like that can't lose if like they're not so much concerned about floor price. That's my concern. My concern is the floor price. It's my job to make that go up. And the way I can do that is by, you know, growing our relevance in the public eye and creating more incentives to want to be a part of that group, which is the stuff that we're doing. I hired a friend of mine who's in here, Jay Shep, who's like, you know, trader by trade. And now like he's like got a trading education channel for holders only in the Discord that, you know, my relationship with him is that he hit me up like last year and just started giving me like timings to buy. He was like, hey, you should buy this coin right now. And I'm like, who the fuck are you? Like, I'm like, I don't even know you. And then like, you know, exactly what he said happened. Like the coin just like sent and I was like, okay, cool, one off, whatever. And then like repeatedly throughout the year, he would just be like, hey, I hope you didn't buy. Oh, hey, I hope you didn't sell. And I'm like, damn, bro, like this guy knows his shit. And so now he's in the Discord writing up like a whole thing about how to trade better. Or just how to understand trading, because a lot of people don't know and they'll follow like the wrong person, blow up their account and just, you know, all that shit. So that is something like just one aspect of like that education part. So again, to come back to the ethos in a simple sense, ethos of the company is learning, frisson, and growth, which is just kind of how I like to live my life, in the sense that learning is the idea that wanting to kind of get as much information as possible about any, like knowing the potential. Frisson is like how fucking excited you feel when you realize you can get better at stuff, and growth is like actually taking time to make real changes to make it happen. And this all sounds like fluff to people, but it makes a lot of sense in my brain as to like how this informs everything that we're doing with the project through the lily pad and the Lotus library. Like, it makes so much sense to me. Like a few months ago I tweeted like, I know my why. Like, why am I doing this? Like, why am I making this project? Why I think it's important and why I think it'll stay and do well. And it's because of those like kind of guiding principles. And like you said correctly, ethos that a lot of other projects don't have, don't think about, or just, you know, aren't considering.
Yeah, I think some of them put maybe a dollar value, you know, they put a floor price, they put certain things in front of their values. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. However, you can feel there's a difference in just the way that they run and just the culture that they kind of, the culture that they incubate within a community, right? And I think that's a huge thing whenever, I mean, I can look at other projects right now that are doing very, very well. It's all about the community. It's all about the culture within that community that really sets them apart, that also brings people together. I really like that about when you find a good project or when you find a good artist like yourself who's able to do stuff like that, who's able to put vision into something that's not necessarily tangible, but you can actually feel, which is almost just as tangible or maybe even more real. And I think something like that is something that I see it, and just the way that you talk, I can hear it. So pleasure, absolute pleasure listening to that. I do have one more question for you. Question. I don't know what that just threw me off right now.
Dude, no worries, because I got some questions lined up here.
Great, go for it.
Dude,
go
I
So you mentioned the Lotus Library, and I remember the first time I talked to you was about, because it was about your marketing, like you had like marketing 101, and it's a really dope piece of content. And what I wanted to ask you about, it actually is kind of in line with what Angel was saying. Like, you made all the Lotus Library content free. What was the thought behind that, behind making it free?
Oh, dude, yeah, that's easy. Some guy, I think he's changed his name a few times. I've forgotten why. But we were DMing for whatever reason late last year. And he was telling me how he was launching a project and he paid like a marketing advisor, like some obscene amount, like 5-6K for something, like for marketing help on how to sell out his project. And then he told me like what that guy sent him. And it was like a one pager. And it was like, tell people about your project. Make sure you get this many followers and like make sure you sell out. And I was like, what? I was like, you paid what for this? And the guy was just like, yeah, pay me 6K and I'll tell you to sell your project out. I'm like, well, no fucking shit, bro. I got really annoyed. I was like, this is so, like, because to me it was super clear, like, especially at that time, what you needed to do to sell out as someone who had done it. So like, for context, like when I was trying to sell out Lotus Gang, I was like going door to door. I didn't have like 25K followers when I started. I was kind of just kicking it off. And at the time that Lotus Gang minted out, I think I had maybe like 2,000 followers myself. The page itself had like maybe, no, I think I had less than 2,000. I think like I had like maybe like 1.7K and the Lotus Gang page had like 2.5K or some stupidly low amount. And I would go to like launch pads and I would tell them like, hey, I'm launching this project. Can you help me launch? Cause I'm not like a dev. I need someone to make it happen. And they'd be like, look, bro, like, I don't know who you are. Like, and it doesn't look like you'll sell out, because of just the numbers. And like, I'm sorry, we don't want to launch you. And I was like, all right, fair. And so a lot of people kind of turned me away, but it was good that they did, because it like lit a fire under my ass to try and make it happen. And so then I was like kind of online, like 16 hours a day, for a month, trying to make it work. And I learned a lot of things in that period, and I was like, other people can do this too if they want to, and they're going about it the wrong way. They're buying followers, they're like, you know, they'll get a DM from some girl in their DM like, hey, I am a crypto promoter, I will sell your project, just give me $500 billion, and they'd be like, oh shit, this is what every other project is doing, let me do this. Essentially, I saw a lot of people getting scammed, and I was like, they don't have to be doing this. So I put the information out there just in a rage. I was like, guys, like, this, it's actually very simple. And a lot of people to this day still message me and they say like, yeah, your article that you wrote was a big reason for why we changed what we were doing and were able to like sell out. And so that's fucking sick to me. It's like, if I can give information to someone that they want, you know, solicited, and it can help them, fuck yeah, I'll do it. That was the whole point. It's like what I'm trying to do here.
Dude, I actually remember that rant, bro. And I think, before I comment on that, I know local. Go ahead.
No, good, bro. You comment on it, and I'll change it up. Yeah.
I'll just say it so I can clear my brain a little bit. Guys, I forgot to mention that we always sponsor the podcast by fucking Cyber Samurai. So if you retweet the tweet, all you have to do is just retweet the space tweet up there. And we're going to pick two people to get a Samurai PFP NFT. To go back to that bundle, dude, it's so fun to talk to you, because like I remember when you're saying that, I remember that rant, and I agreed with it, bro. Like there was so many times, like, yeah, I talked to a lot of founders and just do like a call with them if I have time. And then so many people would tell me the same thing about these like advisors, you know, with like no strategy. I want to kind of shift it to another point that I heard you talk about on I listened a little bit of the D-Gods podcast you did recently, and I thought it was really interesting because it was kind of like maybe like a little counterculture to what I hear a lot of people say. But you talked about how like with these PFP projects, like everybody wants to buy something that's like Bored Apes, right? I want to buy some shit that goes to like $500,000 and they get airdrop free money. And you specifically talked about how like Bored Apes isn't like they didn't get there by being like a tech company with like sustainable ARR and revenue and like passive income, like $2 of passive income a day. And you know, they got there by bringing this like massive, like viral brand that like Jimmy Kimmel wanted to buy and shit. Can you kind of like speak on that point a little bit? Cause I think it's, yeah, it was super interesting what you said on the D-Gods podcast.
Yeah, for sure. So like my view on NFTs, I think a lot of people try to rationalize this thing and try to draw parallels to something else to make sense of it all when they look at something that's pumping and they're like, well, this is pumping. And everything in hindsight, they're like, oh, this is pumping because of this clearly, you know, this fundamental reason. My personal take is that anyone in like this industry right now is here for the sole reason of wanting to mint the next Bored Apes, which is also why a lot of people are in crypto, period, is because they want to mint, in a way, the next Bitcoin. And they're like, one of these coins is going to go to 60K, baby, and I'm going to be the next guy who bought like 10 years before, and now I'm a bajillionaire on a boat. Like, that's the only fucking underlying reason anyone is here. Anyone who says otherwise, there might be secondary reasons, but for the main reason is like they want to buy the next big thing.
Dog, I'm here for the art and the tech, dog. That's it. No money. Art, tech, yeah. Tech and friends.
Yeah. I mean, to an extent, yeah. I mean, that is true for a lot of people. I can definitely say that's true for me as a secondary reason, but primary reason for a lot of people is, you know, to make a lot of money. That's not a bad thing, no matter what anyone says. That's completely fine and rational thing to do. If you're going to do it, you might as well do it here. We're fighting a good fight against, you know, the USA and China. Like, every Bitcoin that isn't owned by them is a win for the common people. So anyways, on a tangent, my thesis with like NFTs and stuff and why I'd like different shitcoins and PFP NFTs in general is that like the way they go up in price is by maintaining social relevance. And the way you maintain social relevance is like by being able to create or identify metas and waves, adapt to them and execute on them quickly, to be able to provide quote unquote value to your holders. So like what you will want to be looking for is a team that's three things, right? You want to be looking for a team that's creative. They're able to come up with cool ideas. They're able to come up with like Mutant Apes. They were the first ones to do that shit, I think. And motherfuckers have been doing it ever since. Everyone thinks that like, you know, a mutation is the most bullish thing ever because like, oh, wow, this has never been done before. What if we call it something else instead of a serum? And it's like, wow, the art's like fucking ugly now. Whoa, like what a cool concept. Everyone just got up in the Basie roadmap. So Basie was the first creative one and everyone else is just kind of borrowing them. So you want a team that's creative, capable, so able to actually do something with that creative idea that they have, and connected. So creative, capable, and connected. The connected team is the one that like you could have the best idea in the world, no one gives a shit if no one knows who you are. So that's where like the marketing stuff comes in. That's where like where your ability to find who are the playmakers in the space and kind of, you know, partner with them to get the word out on your project. So like the teams that are creative, capable, and connected will be able to create a project that is socially relevant and will continue to be socially relevant. And they'll be able to continue to iterate to maintain and grow that relevance through royalties and stuff like that. And in my brain, like the fact, like it's like the perfect marriage of like creativity, like a creative business. Like I can't think of any other like kind of industry where a team can get paid so much money to just be creative and just come up with cool new things to do and essentially give their holders new speculative poker chips to play with through the form of airdrops, right? Because that's what everyone wants to do. Everyone loves to speculate. Everyone likes to hype new mint. So the project that can give them that and kind of guarantee that there will be hype and attention on that event and make it exciting, like that is a good thing to be a part of. The other side of that is obviously like the community side, like a group that has a bunch of people who are knowledgeable, the type of people you want to get to know better and learn from. That is a group you want to be in. And like the more that group, like an example of that would be like Boogles, like the way it started, like Boogles when it was pumping, I was like, cool, whatever, like I don't really give a shit. And then I found out why people are buying them, and it's like, well, the type of people buying them are like the type of people you probably would never have access to or be able to sit in a group chat in every day. And by hearing what they talk about, what they kind of are concerned about, your own view and like methodologies of how you approach things change, and your chance of like, you know, quote unquote making it go up. So I don't know where I'm going with this, but the point is, like, I think my point is, like, people who buy NFTs for, like, utilities thinking they're, like, shares in some tech company are a bit confused, in my opinion, and they're not going to get their Bored Ape. Like that's my hot take, is that, like, your rev share, the amount of revenue that your project needs to create for that buy to be worth shit consistently is so high that it doesn't make sense. You'd probably have a much better time trying to find, like what I said, like teams that are creative, competent, and connected, who are able to make noise and make waves and stay relevant in that way. So I think people confusing tech companies using NFTs as a crowdfunding versus PFP projects, which are using PFPs to, you know, make noise and do all these other things. There's like a distinction to be made. I just think everyone asking and begging for utility, they just have it wrong. That being said, you should always have a plan for how you're going to make this noise and how you're going to get the revenue, especially in this like no royalty environment. But yeah, anyways, I've rambled for a bit now.
Yo, Bungeo, that was like spot on, dog. Like mastermind, big brain, what you just said. I think, especially on Solana, this is where people have this idea like, oh, utility is going to be the thing that beats out a profile pick collection. But you look at any top project on ETH or Sol, what utility do they have? Like, tell me, what did they type of bootleg trading tool did they build? Nothing. Like any nothing, not a damn thing. On nope. Bored Apes didn't build a damn thing. Fucking nope. Doodle didn't build a damn thing.
Nope.
No offense to Nat Faden Frank, but he didn't build a damn thing. It's been all community, and nothing's wrong with that. I think that's the best form of utility, is by having access to people that you would not have access to otherwise. So sorry about my little tangent, but I'm.
I love when you get fired up, Dorian. Let's fucking go, dude. Man, I agree, and I'm gonna let Local go real quick. But like, as you're saying this, bro, one of my takeaways is like, because I've talked to George about this, and he basically told me like for Boogle, the main thing he would do is just like say no to every collab. Like that was like the main work he was doing all day, was meeting with people and turning down collaborations. And it's like, you think about like the cultural impact Boogle's had and the group that it attracted, and then like how much every other project is like trying to do a million different things and where they're at, you know, like price wise. And it's like, yeah, there's, I don't know. It just hit me when you're talking about Boogles. But yeah, go ahead, Local.
Thanks for that. Yeah, obviously, the social relevance thing is, you got to tie that in with your project. So like, looking at that, so like, as an artist in the Solana MT space, and you're looking at all these other projects and their creativity, creative mindset behind their projects, what's the inspiration for the Lily then? So what kind of social relevance and what kind of inspiration are you trying to bring with the Lily? Yeah, with art inspiration and creative mindset, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's along the similar rails. So first and foremost, at the bare minimum, I want this to be a gorgeous PFP, like just art-wise, which is why I've spent 6-ish months drawing it myself, making sure it's like right. At the bare minimum, which is like sometimes enough for a project, but I'm not going to stop there. Like the social relevance, I think, comes when you have a project that is, you know, attractive. Like art, yeah, cool, step one, it's attractive, but then the holders of that project are consistently in the spotlight for events and things that, you know, IRL or online that take place that the holders can enjoy through maybe like a time-based staking reward or something unique that only they have access to, and other people can watch and be like, yo, that's really cool. An example of which would be like the D-Gods dead-godding thing. That was a whole event that me as a sideline person was like, I need to buy a D-God just to be involved in this. And it worked. And then I was like, and then I kind of watched and I see what they were doing. I'm like, this makes a lot of sense. And like the other thing is like, you know, like airdrops and future value, like knowing that if I'm in this group, like I will be receiving, like I will be in the exclusive insider circle that gets the next benefit that everyone else will care about. So Lily and the Lotus will be, in my vision, a group that is like, if you're in it, you know that like you will consistently be like in the spotlight, because we will be doing kind of new and innovative things. And by new and innovative things, I'm keeping it intentionally vague, because I don't want to give away any ideas to other people who could probably do the same thing as well. Some of them, not all, but that's kind of like the project giving value to the holder side. The other side is like the social relevance, being like well known is just another thing. Like and through the Lily pad and the Lotus library, what I want them to become I think across all chains, Lily will become like just like a, like you'll see, like when you think NFTs, you'll think like Lily, like you'll think about that art. When you think of like, you know, like players who are like in the space and like have skin in the game, you will think of like Lily art. When you think of like a group that you want to be a part of and that has like a certain image or a feel, a look and feel, like you'll think of like Lily slash Lotus Gang. Like that's the feeling that I want to create. How I will do that is kind of like, well, I've kind of already given hints like this entire time. It's like everything that I think a good project should be doing is what I will want to be doing, right? And like I said, if the team is creative, capable, and connected enough, the how doesn't matter because the how can change week to week. It just matters, like, can you create an idea that's interesting enough? Are you capable enough to deliver that idea in a very cool way? And are you connected enough to the people who are here and connected enough to the people who are not here to get them excited about your idea? That, to me, satisfies what any good profile picture should be doing at a bare minimum. And that's what I want to be doing, which is why I've been building a team over the last year that I think can fulfill the creative and capable side of things. And with the connected side of things, like, we have some pretty impressive holders. We have, like, you know, like, we have a lot more people who have a vested interest in this doing well. And so it'll be like a bit of a collaborative effort to make it happen. I don't know if that answers the question, but I feel like it actually does. A lot of people will say that doesn't answer the question, but I think it's a bit clear, but let me know.
No, I love it, man. I think it encompasses a lot of the thoughts that you had behind the social relevance and the creativity, and you know what kind of things a project can bring towards their holders, or what kind of value they can bring. So yeah, man, I think that definitely answers my question. But as an artist, you know, obviously, you know, most of the time in this space, you get the short end of the straw in like most projects, and as most whilst most founders and devs get paid more, so. Like, how does it feel? You know, obviously, you know, you're an artist, but you're also the founder of the project. That, has there have there been any issues that you, as an artist alone, would find it difficult, or what kind of benefits is it as an artist and a founder of the project?
Oh, bro, the main benefit is I can do whatever the fuck I want. Like, that's the ultimate benefit. It's like I feel bad for the founder who has a very specific vision of what they want the art to be, and they cannot do it. And they are forced to tell the artist to scrap it again and again and again until it's right. I do not have that problem, because when I want to scrap it, I scrap it. And I turn around to my boss and I'm like, hey, is this okay? And then I look at myself and I say, yeah, it's fine. Go for it. Because it's me. Like,
dude, what you're describing sounds like the art process for the Thug Monkeys. I know Yakko's here. I'm pretty sure that was what he had to go through. He had to scrap it several times and get it perfect.
And that sucks. It sucks, man. It sucks when you have, when like in any, the ultimate superpower is if you are, and like, so like there's two types of people, right? There's like the visionary people and there's like the doers. And they are like these two separate camps. Like the visionary people have these insane ideas and they're like, I want to do this, I want to do that. And they want to do a lot of stuff, but they don't, they're not in, like, they either don't have the ability or they don't have the attention to remain in the trenches to make it a reality. So they need to hire people who can make it a reality. But oftentimes the people who can make it a reality don't see the vision just quite the same as them. I think I'm super blessed in the sense that I have a bit of a Venn diagram where I have super mega awesome ideas, I think, without tooting my own horn. And luckily, at least in the art space, I'm able to execute on it exactly how I want. Thank God. Now, and then, where I have holes, like if I want to have a super cool airdrop mechanism that I come up with, or like anyone on the team comes up with that I like think would be fucking sick, I've made sure to patch that skill gap so I have the capability to do that. Like the team will be able to do that. So like that's why I'm like a head of technology. That's why I have like a head of research. I have a head of all this stuff. So everywhere that I'm weak, we have the capability to make it happen. And that's another reason that we're aligned on our vision, like because of the way of like assembled the team is like it's been like a we need to have worked together already, we need to agree on where we're going, like vision wise like, you know, like Kenny, for example, when we were talking about what the library should be, we were completely on the same page. We were like, whoa, fuck, like, dude, it could be this, it could be that, we should do this. And he was giving me all these crazy ideas and I was like, oh shit, man, like we are on the same page. So yeah, the vision and the ability to create it align, which I think is like, I think that's very powerful.
Love it, man. I think, yeah, obviously, it's it is definitely a great benefit to be, you know, and I feel like, you know, yeah, you look at other projects such as, you know, I always say Utes, for example, you got those artists, you know, listening to Frank the whole time and Frank's scrapping their ideas and all that stuff. So, yeah, man, I think you have that benefit on your part, but I'll pass it over to Dorian. What's up, man?
Bungiel, I just wanted to ask, I know you're super focused on Lily right now, but post-Lily, are you going to come out with any one of ones?
As in one of one, like my personal art career?
Yeah,
as
for like artist? Auctions.
Yeah, definitely. And like the key benefactors of all that will be like the holders of, you know, Rat Pack and Lotus Gang and Lily. Like, cause, like it's kind of like a, like it's similar to Adam Ape where like anything he touches, like, you know, that you will, like, if you support him and have a piece of like what he's worked on, like you will be looked after. It's like, definitely want to echo that. So it's like, you know, it's like with Lotus Gang holders, like the message I'm trying to send is like that is basically a public mint for anyone who's not a Lotus Gang holder. Like, I don't know anyone else who's doing No Doubt collabs, and people are like, oh, No Doubt collabs, what the hell? Like, people get annoyed when it's No Doubt collabs and then they spend 3 weeks bitching on the timeline about whitelist allocations to influencers and them getting dumped on, right? It's very confusing. So like, what I'm trying to say is like, I am not giving special treatment to anyone unless they are a Lotus Gang holder. And that's the tone I want to set for the project going forward. It's like, the holders will be looked after the most. And that's kind of what I want to do. And yeah, so like, yeah, my one-of-one art career hasn't really started. Like, because like, in the sense of like, Rat Pack is there, and I have this group of collectors who supported me early on. Like, we have NFT Thinks in the crowd with Frank Sinatra. And that's like 25 pieces of one-of-ones. But like, in my kind of new and improved digital art drawing style, I have so many ideas for pieces that I can make, and when I have the time to do them, I'm definitely coming out swinging with some shit. And like, I'm not going anywhere. Like, I want to be known for everything. Yeah, people put people in boxes like, oh, he's just a fan, oh, he's just this. Like, I feel like I can be a lot of things, and that one of one art career hasn't really begun, and when it does, I do want to bring all that benefit to the people who supported me now.
Yo, that's awesome to hear. And I would be really excited to pick up one of your one-of-one pieces, but it's likely I'll be priced out. But anyway, I can have some hopium. But I just wanted to ask you about, I do like how you're driving, your primary focus is to drive back value to the holders of Lotus Gang. Lily is a 10K, 15K collection, right?
10K.
Did you mention how the rest of the whitelist spots will be allocated? I know, like, what, Lotus Gang is like 5K? So are like, are they going to get two whitelists per Lotus Gang?
No, so it's 4,000 Lotus Gang. I shouldn't say that. There's an undisclosed amount to Rat Pack. Almost fucked that up. But a lot for a Rat Pack holder. A Rat Pack holder will get more than one airdrop for free. And the what was I going to say? So the remaining, like, let's say 5,000-ish or whatever, that's public. Like okay. that's straight public. Like and there's a reason for that. The reason for that is what I mentioned about the whitelist meta stuff. So I was talking to my girlfriend a lot about this like a couple of months ago. And she's like she's into NFTs in the sense that she watches, and she's kind of just like, it really sucks, like the way it's become. Like, it's the fact that every project is allocated already to people who are already here and the people who want to participate but don't own a JPEG worth like 10K, just need to go fuck themselves. Like, it's like, it came about because of like bots, I guess. And that was the narrative push, that we need whitelist because of bots and the right people need to get the stuff. And it's like, all right, cool, I buy that. But honestly, like, there are ways to stop the bot problem now, but the whitelist has remained. And the whitelist has remained because it's in the best interest of a lot of people. And they're like, you know, look, it's right, like, you know, people talk shit about it, whatever, like, that's the way the game goes. Like, you know, you want people of influence to give, get eyes on your project and stuff like that. I feel like I don't need that. I feel like I'm in a position where I don't need influencers to pump my stuff. I have something of quality that can pump itself. So I should open up the opportunity to people and create that minting experience that made NFTs fun for me in the first place. Because for me, the fun thing about them was that anyone can mint, anyone can open six tabs,
potentially mint a rare and make fucking $15,000, right? Now that entire opportunity has shifted to these DAOs and whoever has the most allocation. Is that wrong? No, but I do miss the days of, like, you know, like the public mint. The public mint is fun. It's
the
fucking
the multi-tab mint days, dog. That it was a blast.
It's, I think it's fucking awesome. So for me, like, I really want to create that again. And that's why there's so much public with Lily. So we're giving out whitelist spots. It's not that we're not giving out whitelist spots, but we're giving them out in, like, ways, like through the Silk Road, through different ways that are actually, in my opinion, like, fun and interesting and rewarding people who, like, engage with what we put out. So we're putting out a lot of stuff over the next, like, week or so. And, you know, there'll be more opportunities for them to get those whitelist spots. But yeah, I want to take care of my holders. They get the red carpet experience, pick up their Lily. And for everyone else, like, it's not that I don't want people in the project. I want you guys in the project. But, like, you know, like, hey, buy a Lotus Gang and join us. Or go public. And that's why we have such large allocations, increased chances of people to be able to get them if they're not already a member.
Love it, man. Love it. Obviously, you know, I know you're in Australia. I'm in Australia. Just drop it during, like, Australian wake up, like, awake time. So you can do a public during Aussie times, bro.
It'll be at a time where, like, I don't have to fucking kill myself to wake up. Why the fuck would I kill myself? Like,
Exactly, bro. Back in the last year, like, waking up at 4 a.m., 3 a.m. just to fucking mint some, like, project on ETH or project on Sol. So it's crazy. But yeah, man, obviously, you know, guys, and if you're just joining in, this is The Dojo by Cyber Samurai. We have founder of Lotus Gang and the Lily Bungie on the show today. If you haven't already, go retweet the pinned post up there. You have a chance to win 2 Cyber Samurai NFTs. So go ahead, retweet that. If you have any questions for Bungie, type it in the chat box down below. But yeah, man, I've got a question for you, bro. So obviously, you know, we're talking about, you know, whitelisting, and, you know, we all know, like, the Lotus Gang Discord is full of, like, alpha and whitelists, and, you know, you talked about how you're flipping NFTs. Do you still trade NFTs daily, or do you, obviously you're busy with the collection and all that, but do you still trade NFTs in general?
I trade less, but I definitely trade. Like, I bought, like, a tube, like, 2 days ago, or like a day ago. When I trade, but I try to make fewer bigger bets. So, like, my, like, CY was like, hey, like, what's your burner wallet? Because he's like, what's your minting wallet? Because I need it for something. And then I was like, look, I know it's, like, bad operational security, but, like, I've pretty much been minting on main because I haven't been minting fucking dog shit. Like, I don't go and mint, like, the random new thing that no one's ever heard of. Typically, I'll wait for, like, secondary, at least right now. Because the R&R is just not there. At the moment, I'm, like, looking at, you know, I will definitely be minting Popheads. I'll definitely be minting Nomads, Clanosaurs. Like, I've got my Ute ready to go, and, you know, Elixirs. Like, I'm looking out for things that are more sure bets right now. Because, like, while it will come back, I think right now it's, like, the odds of, like, a random thing exploding are just completely dependent on, like, whichever influencer circle decides to pump it. So I don't want to really be a part of that because I'm not, you know, in that circle. So, yeah, it's like I'd rather just buy stuff that has more organic potential for explosion.
Yeah, man, I love that because, you know, I feel like, you know, there's a lot of founders out there, they, you know, hone in on their collection and they're really, like, passionate about their collection and projects. But I feel like, you know, if there's a chance that you can connect on a personal level, like, we have Shake as well talking about, like, other projects a lot and talking about alpha, and it's always, yeah, like, from a founder's perspective, it's always good to have a foot in the game and trying to, like, you know, understand exactly what other projects are doing, what they're doing well, how can you, can, you know, make your project do well as well, just by watching other projects' growth and how they're gonna, you know, like, mint out and stuff like that. But yeah, man, I love that, bro. I love that you have that kind of aspect of your personality behind you as well. So I'll pass it over to Shake. Yeah, I'll go ahead.
It counts as research, right? Like, if you didn't have skin in the game, like, you're just a fucking phony. Like, I see you a lot with, like, I guess meme accounts right now, like, and, like, it's kind of been touched on by other people, but, like, I don't think these guys buy NFTs or, like, actually know jack about shit. Like, they buy, like, one NFT, make it their profile picture, and they're like, wag me, guys, GM, like, what are we gonna mint? And then they never mint, and they just make memes all day, like, all day. And I'm like, but I think if you're going to be a commentator, you need to be playing the game that you're commentating on. Otherwise, you're just like a, I don't know, like a clown exclusively. And I'm less interested in what you have to say because you're just purely trying so hard to like just be funny. And it's like kind of sad. Whereas if, you know, if you're actually, you know, in the trenches, like actually playing the game, it's much more genuine and, you know, it shows. And same goes for founders. Like, I think you need to be, well, like on any big account in this space, I think you need to be involved just for your own benefit and for research. Like, I'm always looking at, I was talking to Frisk yesterday to try and find out what the scenario is on Ethereum in terms of their blue chips. Because, like, you know, you have blue chips on Solana, yeah, by floor price. But then there's, like, sleeper projects that don't have a high floor price. You know, I would consider, like, Lotus Gang. Like, you can join and you can get whitelist galore. You know, because I was, like, looking at the KPRverse thing and I was like, fuck, like, I didn't have exposure to that. I mean, I did through Boogles, but I just don't, like, fucking didn't check the chat. And so I was like, what kind of fucking Ethereum chats are there? And I found out about, like, the fucking Spirit DAO, which is, like, the Azuki Spirit things, which have like 150 ETH floor, and there was like some other shit I forgot about. All these weird names I've never even heard about, but like the point is I'm trying to learn as much about them. I might even join some of them if it's like a low enough entry, so I can see what they're doing over there and what good things I can bring back here. So yeah, you need to be involved. You need to be looking at what other people are doing. You need to be like, I like that, or I don't like that, or that really worked. How can I, like, you know, use that, or should I even use that? Does that align with my plan? So yeah, basically long winding way of agreeing with you.
Yeah, bro, 100%, man. I love it, man. I'll pass it over to Shake now.
Man, I'm fucking loving this interview, bro. I know it's been over an hour, so if you ever have to go, just let us know. I mean, we could keep talking like for a while, but the question I had was like, so you have the Rap Pack, and I remember you did a future one, and that I thought that was super sick. And my question is like, what music are you listening to for like your Lily drawing process?
I love this question. This is a fucking sick question. I've never been asked this question. Bro, I am listening to fucking everything. Like I go through like waves. So like, you know, the other day I listened through the entirety of Donda, then I listened to it again. And then I listen to like The Life of Pablo, and then I have like a Jay-Z playlist that I played end to end. It's called What Would Hova Do? Because he's like, you know, mad inspiration for me. He was a mad inspiration for me making Lotus Gang as well and buying NFTs. Like, I would like listen to the story of OJ where he's talking about like, you know, buy artwork for 1 million, 2 years later it's worth 2 million. And I'm like, bro, Jay-Z, you fucking spitting, bro. Like, facts. And like, I would literally think about Jay-Z before big purchases, and they would often like pay off. Just like, you know, you gotta have some balls, man. Like, you know, he has another line, it's like, oh no, I think it's like Kanye or Jay-Z, like, when your feet get cold, minds are sizzling. You know, I feel that. Like, yeah, fuck, everyone's pissed off right now and sad right now. Like, that's not me. But on top of that, I have like a lot of Indian music I listen to, so you'll see it in like with the Lily promo. Punjabi music is a huge part of who I am and stuff that motivates me. And I think the beats are fucking sick. And so, like, I got, like, a very specific beat made for the promotional video that I think will be pretty hype. So listening to a lot of Punjabi music, listening to a lot of Japanese music. I have a playlist of, like, anime intros where I'm, like, on the days when I'm feeling down, I'm going to, like, pump that. Basically, I'm super fucking eclectic. I have so many playlists. I have, like, a Nujabes playlist. I have, like, a emotional playlist, which is all, like, you know, random Frank Ocean spec songs, and it changes day by day. Like, I'm like, what's the vibe today? I'm listening to this until I get sick of it. I had like a whole Tory Lanez period. That guy is underrated, man. Tory Lanez is super underrated. I don't care what anyone says. He has like this 80s style that is like super popular right now. Anyways, long-winded, whatever way of saying, I'm listening to everything.
Yo, out of all this time that you spent up here, the most bullish things that make me super hype for Lotus Gang and Lily are the fact that you love One Piece and you got an anime playlist. You're going to the moon, my book, dog. Keep it up.
Let's fucking go, bro. That shit gives me up. That shit got me so, that's been pushing me my whole life. At one point, like when I was like, I don't know how old would I have been, maybe like 14, I got really fat, right? For whatever reason, like it all just caught up with me and I was like, shit, I'm super fat. I didn't realize until I was like in the sports change room one day and I took my shirt off and this guy literally pointed at me and was like, holy shit, bro, you are so fat. And I was like, damn. And I went home that day and my cousin was over and he saw me. He was like, oh, bro, you've been eating well. And I was like, shit, man. Like 1-2 punch. Pissed me off real bad. And like, I had like a treadmill in my house and I would just like literally as if I was like Rock Lee or some shit, mad autism vibes. Like I would just be running on that treadmill so much, listening to anime soundtracks. That like I had to go to the doctors because my feet hurt and they told me to stop running so much. They were like, your fucking shins are fucked, like, because you just run like every day for like an hour, like you need to stop doing that. So point of that story, dog, is like, yeah, anime shit gets me going.
Yo, me too, man. Back in high school, dude, I used to have my whole anime. Naruto was like the top tier like openings of anime music back in the day. Bro, so me and my boys in high school, of course, I did not get any girls, but that's all good. I eventually got them. But singing Japanese music back in high school did not get you chicks, but it's all good.
Bro, you need, and it's needed. I think everyone needs some light music, and fucking anime intro music fucking bangs. And yeah, you know,
no, Naruto, you ain't never lying.
You know the vibes. It's in my fucking playlist, 100%. Do fucking deadlifts to that shit, man.
I fucking love that, bro. Yeah, dude. That, actually, that's funny you just said deadlifts because, like, I've seen you post about fitness too. I guess you kind of talked about it a little bit with you being 14 and like losing weight. But is that important part of your life and like
huge part? I want to be sexy. I want to be like, everyone goes through the same thing where it's like they start, they're like, they want to get big arms, they want to get big chest, and they realize that's like, you know, you probably need to work on the other muscles too. Then the pendulum swings like, well, I want to train like an athlete, actually. I don't want to be like just a cloud. And so then you start doing like box jumps and shit and like, you know, maybe boxing. So I did a lot of boxing. I boxed for a year, like a year and a half, and I wanted to like have my first amateur fight, and then I got injured because I was overtraining because I'd box and then go to the gym. And so then a lot of like the last year has been like rehab to get back to normal. And so then I started training more like an athlete. And now I'm like, you know, once I have more time in the day, I'm definitely going to set it up so that I'll do boxing twice a week to get really good at that. And then I will do like full body strength training or like maybe hypertrophy training. I don't know, for the other 2 days, just trying to figure out like what I want to do. And then on like Sundays, I'll like go for a swim because I need to learn how to swim. Like I kind of know how to swim, but like I want to get really good at swimming, and I'll use that as my like zone 2 cardio / rest day, maybe on like Sundays or something. So that's my plan. Just like I was talking about it yesterday with the boys, I was like, definitely need to get my fitness back. Huge part of my life. Want to be jacked. I think everyone should fucking train. It's great therapy. I do that too sometimes. Like sometimes I'll be drawing and I hit a wall and I like my brain fogs out and I blank out and I'm like, I cannot lift my pen right now. I can't do anything right now. I just sit there and I know I have to do work and it's 3 p.m. and I can't. So I like force myself out of my chair and just like run like outside 20-25 minutes, like sprinting whenever I can and just try to run the whole time. Get some air in the lungs, and then I come back and I'm just like, yo, let's fucking go. Like, let's fucking do this. And then, like, you know, I get another 3-4 hours of work back in. And, you know, like, I think that's pretty good strategy to do stuff. Like, just fucking go shock the body.
I love that, bro. I do the same thing. For me, it's a lot. It's like, if, I mean, I don't draw, but a lot of times I'll just get stuck on, like, I can't find a solution or an idea. And then the other side is like, when I get really pissed at people, because, you know, I'll be sitting at my desk for like 5 hours straight, dealing with people, different meetings, DMs, and then I'm like, dude, I just want to fucking kill somebody right now, right? And then I go lift, and it always helps. It always helps. I know what you mean.
Yeah, I was just saying, I relate to you about being a thick boy in high school, Bungeo. Your boy was like 300 pounds in high school.
Yo! So,
yeah, dog. I was a big boy. I was eating
big boy.
Yeah. And then I joined the military, and then I dropped like 170 pounds when I went into boot camp. So yeah, man. But like, fitness is pretty important to me. And it's like Shake was saying, it's that I usually just work out when I need to clear my mind, and like being a community manager and mod, or former community manager and mod, is just like, there's a lot of special people in NFTs, man. And as nice as I am, I try not to go off on them in chat. So when I get to that point, I'm like, dog, I just need to step away. And I go do CrossFit.
How much is 300 pounds in kilograms? It's like 1.0.
Like 170, 160?
What? It's big enough. It's big enough.
Yeah, like 160 kilos?
That's bullshit. Hold on. 300 pounds. 300 pounds.
Maybe like 130 kilos.
2 kilograms.
Bro!
Yeah, dog. What? I was thick. Definitely not that thick anymore, though.
Dude, what the
Dorian's fuck? Also pretty tall, though. I mean, Dorian, how tall are you? Like 6'1", 6'2"?
Yeah, about 6'1", 6'2".
Still big, oh, for sure.
Shit, man. Hey, yeah, dude, good on you. Fucking, yeah, so now you're like tall and jacked, I'm assuming. Like, no,
I'm well done. Definitely not jacked. I think I'm in moderate shape. I'm not like some bodybuilder walk around. Not like Salami Mommy. That dude's ripped.
Yeah, that tripped me out. I thought he was like a girl, and then like suddenly he's posting biceps. I'm like, shit, man. Yo, Manny, weird thing with my space, doing that thing again where like, if he asks a question, can someone who's already a speaker tell me what he said, because I can't hear him.
Yeah, I'll translate Manny for you.
Dude, this has been insane. I am definitely underexposed on Lotus Gang, but yeah, just it's more so a comment on like the network is your net worth. Like, dude, that is the absolute vibe. I guess my question is like, how can I help you? Like, I'm good at math. I'm good at analytics. Like, I'm okay at marketing, but like, that's it. It's a shameless shill. Like, you know, like, goddamn, I am so bullish on you, dude.
Yo, Manny, I agree with that. Dude, so Bunjil, let me translate that. Manny pretty much says you're a goat and he's only good at math, but he wants to help you out, dog. And he's underexposed to a Lotus Gang.
Right. Wait, fuck. I should really like just rejoin and like actually be able to talk. Just give me like 1 second. But I am keen for all the help I can get. Whatever you're good at, DM me like your skills. I'm always looking for additional help. Like right now, for anyone listening, I'm looking for like Unity devs to help me really expand Silk Road while we work. Like my in-house dev team works on what's it called? The lily pad and the library. So if anyone knows a Unity dev is looking for work and wants to be part of something pretty fucking big and cool, like hit me up. I'm actively looking for someone kind of skilled and with the vision there. Manny, dude, I'm going to quickly jump back in just so I can actually hear you. My spaces is fucking stupid. I'll be back, guys.
It's funny, dude, because like out of any question that you could translate, that would have been so hard to get across, you know? It was so passionate. It was so passionate and genuine. Oh, we got Yord Wiki here too.
So let's take the chance to reset the room. Obviously, you know, thanks for joining, guys, to the dojo. We do this weekly. We bring on someone valuable from our community to come and speak about their journey in the space. So if you haven't already, please retweet the pin post up to the top. You have a chance to win 2 Cyber Samurais. But yeah, man, I've been loving this show, man. It's been great. Obviously, we have some great people up here on the stage talking about, you know, the Lily Bunjil and his project. Now we've got Manny up here trying to show himself. So let's see what's happening.
Yeah, I can.
You're back.
Sorry, bro.
Let's go.
I'm back in the game.
Dope, dude. Yeah, pretty much. I'm super underexposed to Lotus Gang. I'm good at math. Pretty good at networking. How can I help you? Right? Like, if you need a Unity dev, I will move mountains and I'll find you one. If that's what you need, but I just want to help.
Thank you, bro. And like the first joke I just thought of was like, how good at math can you be if you're undisposed to Lotus Gang, baby? No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, dude, I do need mathematicians for like I guess making the game as balanced as possible. So that was all kind of just done like by trial and error, trying to figure out like a way to make it random. By the game, I mean Silk Road. I'm not sure if you've played it, but like figuring out ways for it to balance and scale. Definitely need someone good with numbers. So dude, just hit me up in the DMs. We can chat about like what, like if there's a fit for, you know, your skills in the team. So I appreciate the kind words as well, bro. I thank you. Thank you so much. So definitely hit me up.
That was a good joke. Manny, you probably aren't that good at math, bro. I agree. We got Yord up here. Basquire.
What up, Shake? What up, Bunge? Oh. Yeah, been loving this chat, Bungie. You know, I know we go way back. I got a couple questions for you, man. Because few things. First, you know, you've been someone that I looked up to, you know, for a while since following you back in like your 2K followers days. One thing that you know, I've been struggling with personally, as, you know, I'm trying to build something, is, you know, public perception. You know, someone coming across your personal account, Bungle, might not know who's actually behind the account based on some of the content that you put out there. And, you know, I think being genuine and authentic and who you are is the most important thing. And like, I enjoy doing that on the Basquire account. But then, like, when I speak to maybe, you know, prospective like investors or VCs, they're like, oh, what's your Twitter handle? And I give it to them. And my last post was, you know, some shit post. It makes me question whether or not I should be, you know, it's not my LinkedIn by any means. So have you ever thought about that? And if so, you know, what, you know, are you just going to keep it real? Keep it the Bungie way, keep it Bungish?
So, okay, that's a really good dilemma, not a really good dilemma, but a really good question there, and a dilemma that other people find them in as well. So I heard a story of, this is actually way more common than you think. There's a guy, I don't know if I should say his name. There's an account that should post a lot, and they're actively raising right now for a DeFi protocol that they're making, that they built. I think they're in university. And their like whole thing is like, you know, shit posting and being like stupid and ironic. And they actually were approached by an investor, and they were like, look, we can like work with you. We want to give you money, but we don't like your posts. Like, you need to turn that down. And he basically told them to fuck off. And like he turned down like hundreds of K in funding, which in like, I guess this environment is pretty ballsy. And I think he did the right thing. I think the people who do well understand and embrace the culture that's created here. And like the people who can quickly pick up on the jokes, the mannerisms, the copy passes, the irony, the who's who's and the what's, and the people who can identify the metas and the waves and make fun of it and be relevant in that way will see a longer term success from the people that matter than the people who will like not sell out, but like kind of adjust themselves for a entity that's not a part of it. So it's definitely it's a hard balance to hit. So with me, like, I obviously have, like, I'm right now in the process of separating the tone of voice of the Lotus and myself. Like, oftentimes I'll make a post and I'll be like, yo, I would love to do this. But now I'm like, well, I need to find a tone of voice that works for this brand and the global big brand that I'm trying to make it, that isn't just an echo of me. And that way I can keep me being me and keep the brand being the brand. There is like a level of like, okay, I think you're pretty tasteful. I don't think you're like a fucking crazy off the wall shit poster talking about fucking your cousins or anything like that. Like, I think it's completely fine. And I think if someone looks at that and is turned off, then they don't know what they're doing here and you shouldn't give a fuck about it.
Like, I don't necessarily mean turned off, but also like,
you're just conscious about it.
Yeah. But not just like, also like maybe judge a book by its cover. And not know, like, not have an opportunity to sit in a space with someone or know their experiences, credentials, you know. It's not like you have your, like, whether it's your LinkedIn, your resume, or your experiences tied to that, that is public facing for that sort of entertainment aspect.
Yeah. So, you know, I agree. And I think the ways around that are to tell your story and show your credentials in another way. And this is actually a very bullish part of NFTs themselves, and was how I was able to gain a lot of following early on. It was because I had an SMB profile picture. And for those in the know, it's like a qualifying thing. So you look at someone's profile picture, they have an SMB, is it real? Okay, cool. You already put them in a specific bucket in your head, where at least more before than now, you would want to listen to what this person has to say. So your profile picture is a qualifier that people will look at before, like, your posts, right? And then if they see a post like, this person's talking bullshit, fuck them. Or if they're just retweeting giveaways, fuck them. But that, like, having that profile picture lends ears to you and your cause, because it takes a specific kind of person to spend that much money and have that, and it shows skin in the game and it shows all this stuff. So that is an often overlooked benefit of that people don't think about. Like, saying anything with a fucking Google profile picture, it's different, right? People will want to know what you have to say, at least to some extent. Less now than before, but it's still a thing. Now, I'm not saying, like, I think last I saw you had, like, a thug bird. I'm not saying change a thug bird or, like, whatever. But, like, I'm just saying it's something to consider. The other thing you could potentially do that I did is make your own website. So Twitter is notoriously shit as a portfolio. It's great for whatever the fuck you thought about yesterday, and that's your post, or, like, one pinned post. That's it. If anyone wants to find shit about you, if anyone wants to find out what you're posting, good fucking luck. Like, they can go to your media and scroll if they have like 20 hours in a day, or like they'll just never know, or they have to follow you for a while to get your vibe. So what did I do? I was like, I need to make a website, and I told my girlfriend about this, and she surprised me and made me an entire website because she's fucking based, fucking awesome. So bunjil.io, make a portfolio, tell everything you need to tell about yourself right there, or have a pinned post. If you go to like Dejan Spartan's profile picture, I mean, his account, one, he has the same profile picture all the time. So like I have a whole article on this, the branding yourself article. I'm sure you've read it. I talk about all this stuff. Like, there's a reason I have the red color in every profile picture. So even if I change it, everyone knows who I am without seeing the thing. They see the red or the orange, whatever the fuck you want to call it, and they know who's talking. My banner, my everything, I'm trying to make it as concise as possible. Your pin post should be everything you want anyone to know right there. So if you go to Dejan Spartan's page, he has like a thing about like kind of what he does. And I think, like, I'm going to check if it's still there. So that guy spends his whole day retweeting hentai. Like literally the entire day. But his pin post is, will you let me follow you on Twitter? I need some alpha so I can feed my family. Sure, get in. It's a meme. It says that he's fucking funny, and it says exactly what you'd follow him for. And his, you know, his bio is like funny, whatever, because everyone knows who he is. But even he has an onslaught.io cultured spot and whatever. Like, the point is, you need to make a brand. you need to very quickly tell people what you're about so they can see past your posts. And the way you do that is through your profile picture, your bio, your pin post, your website, whatever. These are tools you can use, I think, to get your message across clearer. And then you can also use your normal post to talk about what you're working on. So as Basquiat, you do it already, but like, you know, like I talk about Lily a fuckload, I talk about Lotus Gang a fuckload, and people still don't fucking know. Like, it took, like, Rain was my friend for months before he realized that Lotus Gang was my project. He was like, what? And I was like, bro, what the hell? People don't read, man. People do not read. So you have to hit them on the head with a big fucking hammer. If you think it's obvious, it's not. You know, smack them in the face with it violently.
I'm not sure if I'm going to recover from this one. Bunjil just called me brandless.
No brand? No brand?
Shake, I got one more question for Bunjil, but I see your hand up, man. I don't know if you're running on what I'm running on. I don't want to steal the stage.
Oh, no, dude. I was just going
to
say,
just quickly, but I probably only have time for just one more question. I've really had like fun here, but I do need to, I got to hop off soon. So maybe like if you both have a question each, and then we can just wrap it after that.
I'll save it for the AMA you owe me.
Yes.
I'll hold you to that. Oh, bro, I don't even have a question. So, I mean, my comment, I was just going to say like that there's so many examples of people who like don't give a fuck, and they're like some of the most, you know, successful people in the world, right? Like Elon's like a good example, but in NFTs, if you know that project DigiDaigaku on Ethereum, like their founder raised $200 million, and if you see what he's doing, right? He just fucking memes and shit posts and like engagement farms. Like he's literally like Ice Knife, but a guy who has like $200 million and like a past $1 billion company. You know,
I think the past $1 billion helps a fair bit.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I think it's like, I think he got there by being that way, right? Like, which is kind of your point. But I don't have a question, Basquiat, if you wanted to ask, bro, go ahead.
Yeah, I think this one might take too long, but you know, it seemed like you had like two conflicting takes. You know, I love the three C's about your team, you know, and I've faced that building out a team, and I'm sure, you know, Shake same way and any other founders here. But you also like talked a lot about not necessarily your hate for influencers, but, you know, and then I remember the days when you used to ask, you know, you used to tap the audience and say, like, am I an influencer? But you're sort of saying of like, you know, they're not necessary. Well, for someone who's up and coming or new to this space and like you're trying to benefit them, you know, by having a level playing field, how would you advise them to like get connected? You know, because it does take a while to build that brand, build those connections, identify those players who aren't those influencers are going to take advantage of you. What would be your advice for those people?
So, yeah, I think it's a matter of identifying. Let me clarify my position. I don't like the term influencer because it is like, there's like promoters, right? Like a club promoter, and they have one job, promote shit. They are like, that's all they do. They really have nothing interesting to say. The only thing they will say is, hey, you should spend money on this because I told you to. Promoter is more of a fitting term for what a lot of people call influencers. And the reason they become influencers, in my opinion, is because they reach a point where what they tweet about experiences price action. So people follow them and like them because if they're quick enough, they can get a scrap of that pump. They don't follow them for substantial actual content of substance, right? And then there's the other side of that where there's accounts that have grown through and they don't shill. They're just authentically talking about strategy, sharing jokes, sharing commentary that's, you know, thought-provoking about what's happening right now. And like they have more insight and actual influence on things besides just the price of the latest pump and dump. So I think what I'm referring to when I say I don't like think influencers are super necessary is I'm talking about promoters, and you know exactly who they are. You know, the retweet giveaway guys, whatever, like they are the people you don't want to be talking to pump your project, because the people who matter in a way know who those people are. And like, they're not stupid retail who you get dumped on. And they will almost frown upon association with those people. But I also have to say, it's like the reason I said you don't need them, or like I am in a position where I luckily, and I want to say this to jinx it, but like, is because I've been able to get some numbers on the board, establish like an audience and have, you know, an organic enough platform where I personally am not enslaved to, I need promoters to pump my stuff. But a lot of Lotus Gang success was simply because I was sitting in spaces all day and I made friends with like George Ceylon and like a bunch of people who were already kind of established in the space completely organically. It wasn't like I need to be friends with these people for them to pump my project. It happened because I was on spaces every day and wanting to get to know more about people and stuff like that, which is also something I spoke about in my thing. So my advice would be, you definitely want to be connected. And I think you do a pretty good job of it. Like, I think if anyone does it, like, it's you, in the sense of like being able to meaningfully connect with the people who have actual influence or like actual skin in the game, the thought leaders, right? The people in the room. I don't know how to really explain it, but I feel like you know what I mean. It's like the people who aren't promoters, they're not shills. They might have a lot of followers, but they have it for a very specific reason that isn't just pumping bullshit. Those people, if you can communicate the value proposition of your thing to them through whatever, it doesn't need to be like, hey, I want to pitch you something. Like, that's the way. Like, if you can convince someone of the importance of what you're doing and get that buy-in, like, you know, like I would say I'm an advocate for Yord. Probably, like, I've been probably like slacking in the sense of like trying to, like, you know, write my own article on it just because I haven't had time. But like, I remember when you first showed me the idea, I think Yord is really important. I think Yord is a super important thing. And I told you, and I still believe, if and when it catches on, it will be like a staple. So I'm convinced I could probably do a better job of advocating for it, and I should, and I will, because I think it's super necessary. But yeah, it's like the big brains. It's like the, you know, I guess the guys, it's the soft money. It's like the people who, they're just not promoters. They're not club promoters. They have a following for a reason that's not shilling. You need to, you know, get, and the way to get in front of them is like what you're doing, like meaningful connections. Reply guy if you have to, but like not just like, hey, yeah, fucking like this meme is stupid. I don't know, whatever the fuck like stupid reply guying is, but like actual like getting to know people. Are you in Lisbon? Like being in Lisbon right now would have been a fucking great idea. Like, cause you get to just actually meet people and talk to people. Like a lot of my like greatest supporters I've like and friends I've made because I was drunk on spaces. This is my most authentic self.
Love it, man. Love it.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you made friends with Raj. I remember that.
Yeah. I was, yeah, exactly. Raj like kind of knew who I was because I was drunk as fuck on Spaces talking about Lotus King. So that was fun.
Yeah, love it, guys. Obviously, Bungeo, obviously, I was going to say thank you for your time, man. One last question before you head off. And obviously, you shared a lot about your journey in this space, you know, the Lily and the Lotus Gang. Is there anything lasting things you want to share with us before you head off? And, you know, just want to say thank you for jumping on our Dojo Spaces.
When you guys see it, I just really want to hear what you guys think about the art. That'd be really exciting for me. If you have mean things to say, I don't give a fuck. No, I'm just kidding, I do. But I'm just really excited to show you guys what I've been working on. I really appreciate the opportunity to come up here, and you guys have been great fucking hosts. I remember like the first time I joined one of these shows with Shake and yourselves, I was like, wow, this is like it feels like what Spaces used to be, in the sense of like it's just fun. Like you're just chatting and having a very normal time, whereas a lot of Spaces these days are kind of like the same six people going in a circle talking about royalties, and it's like, I don't really give a shit like about this. So, but you guys, you know, like you have people up, it's fun, it's very natural, it's a good show. So I really wanted to be here. I love Shake. I love Cyber Sam's. I had mine for a while. I see like a lot of the same values reflected between what I work on and what you guys work on. Like I think we're all on the same wave. So definitely a part of the group that wants to make things here better and done in the right way. So I really appreciate you guys, and I'm really happy to be on this show.
Love it, man. Thanks for you guys knowing. Yeah, man. If you started as well, during this chat, we had a lot of boys in our chat just asking about the Lotus Gang and the Rat Pack and all that. So thanks for jumping on and sharing a bit about your story, man. And excited for the lady. And thanks for joining, man.
Thank you so much. I'm going to get back to it, back to the drawing board.
Thank you so much, bro. All right, guys. Talk to you all later.